Cool.
I don't know why this thing still says drinkability on it.
Eh. It's good to be reminded of our roots sometimes. Oh, Brian, did we just get mooed in?
We did, Danielle.
I didn't even ask to get mooed in.
I know.
It happened completely out of the blue, out of the moo. Hello, Brian.
She's a wild one, that cow.
Yeah, you'd never know what she's gonna do.
She respects no... She waits for no man.
Hmm. She bows to no milker. Neither of us two, anyway. Just comes in and moos. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a quest to comprehensively review all the different flavors of milk. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk. Oh, it's been a long week.
Yeah, it's been a real long week.
Hmm.
This podcast has some of the weirdest, most variable length weeks.
It does, yeah. Sometimes some of these weeks last for months.
And some of the weeks last for minutes.
Yeah. But at least our release schedule is tight.
Pretty
regular.
Fairly tight. Fairly regular.
Fairly tight. Relatively regular.
Well, this is Milkin' It.
Welcome to Milkin' It, everyone. This is the podcast where... Hi, I'm Daniel Cow. This is my friend Brian Cow. We review milks. Welcome. We try our best to answer the milk question.
Yes.
On the Milkin' It podcast.
Namely, which milk will we drink today?
And when, which is the milk of the day today? Those two milk questions are the question that we answer.
Daniel, do you want to... You want to speak to any of the new milks you've added to your list?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. Well, how about you first, Brian? Were you added any new milks to the list?
I have not. I am down to two milks, Daniel.
You broke up there, but I think you just said you're down to two.
Yeah, I'm down to two milks, and it's a crappy chocolate milk that I don't want to drink, and a strawberry milk that I do want to drink.
Cool. I'm getting most of what you say. Listeners, stall while I quickly connect my my computer to my mobile Wi-Fi, which is a million times more stable than the fucking Australian whatever system is happening. If I just connect it to 4G, then it just seems to work. Brian, you broke up a tiny little bit. I'm just scrambling in panic. But yeah, so you've got two milks. I've got a whole bunch of milks. One of them... I'm very excited to report that I snatched up and bought. I was overjoyed when I saw it because something has happened. The Australian milk industry has crossed a Rubicon. I think it's gone abstract. It's finally happened.
Are you talking about Blue Heaven?
Yeah, I was in my local petrol station and I saw Oak, that old bastard who we all hate, have brought out a new flavor of milk, and the flavor is Blue Heaven flavored milk. And I go, what? I snatch it up and I buy it. So at some stage, maybe the Rotolacta will roll up some Blue Heaven and we can review the flavor of Blue Heaven flavored milk. No flavor indication on the cover. There's no ingredients, no sea of milk with chocolate splashing into it or anything like that. Just an abstract color gradient of a dusty gray blue carton. So that's exciting. I've also got some Madame Hong's grass jelly milk tea, which I'm sure will be a nightmare, in a little tin can. And then some pretty standard Nippy's Ice Banana, Nippy's Ice Vanilla. I'm branching out a little bit. That's been my recent milk acquisitions. And that's it. Some alcoholic chalk milk too.
All right.
From my local Dan Murphy's.
Daniel, Blue Heaven is a collaboration with 7-Eleven.
Yes, that's when I bought it.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So is that like is that what you guys call like? Is that what you call the Slurpees? Is that a Slurpee flavor?
Oh. Is it a Slurpee flavor? I don't know. I don't drink 7-Eleven Slurpees.
Like blue raspberry?
Oh, maybe it's a Slurpee flavor.
It says it's a mix of vanilla and raspberry.
Oh. Well, don't tell me, Brian. I didn't want to know it was a mix of vanilla and raspberry.
Did you know?
That sounds interesting.
It was launched in October 2017.
Oh, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh.
Daniel, you're also going to have to find a lime spider.
Okay,
An oak lime spider.
Yeah, I'll look for an oak lime spider, no problem.
That would also be at 7-Eleven.
Sure. So what year was that released?
2018.
Okay, so I'll have to wait till 2021 to go get one here in Perth, Western Australia, I guess.
They've also got a caramel popcorn at 7-Eleven.
Oh.
And a Rocky Road. And a cola.
Milk flavors?
Cola spider. Yeah, these are all flavored milks.
Oh, wow. All oak?
Yeah. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page of oak flavored milk, and they've got a list of products.
Oh, man.
My favorite one is... Oh, it says oak also mocked up packaging for but never produced the following flavors. And one of them is vegan carob, parentheses, part of an advertising campaign that mocked vegan foods.
Those despicable pieces of shit.
Which, yeah. Oak is just
those
like...
those pantomime assholes. I love carob. Carob's delicious.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you ever tasted carob, Brian?
Oak is owned by Lactalis.
Oh, Lactalis, the evil entity in the sky who mocks us every morning on our trip to work. Ah, puny mortals. I, Lactalis, laugh at your pitiful struggles. Oh, pile up the bodies of mortals at my feet. Lactalis cares not for the lifespans of gnats. Lactalis sees all.
Exactly.
Lactalis.
Daniel, you just turned into a robot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
The Lactalis group. It seems to happen whenever I start typing letters into the Google search engine, so I better just start not,
you're roboting
not
hardcore,
doing any
Daniel.
Research. That's okay. It'll come through. My Audacity waveform looks pretty normal on my end.
Oh, yeah. So I just won't know what you say, but...
Exactly.
It's perfect.
I promise not to Google anything more.
Please don't.
Well, that seems to be the trigger.
Yeah. But what you could do for us, Daniel, is spin the rotolactor.
What? All right, Brian. Well, we're here at the rotolactor already, so let me just give it a big spin.
I love a quick trip to the rotolactor.
All right, cool. Ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
I'm not going to do it unless you tell me you're ready. I don't want to, you know, this is a dangerous machine. Just this once, though, I'm going to spin it from the front. I'm just going to hold the pegs and push it. No reason. All right, here we go. Huh? I stopped it, Brian. I've stopped it on Betty's Milk Bar Choc Cherry Delight. I'm closing my eyes. I can't see what your milk is on the segment, but I definitely want to do this milk today. Fuck random chance. Fuck what? The system too. The whole Milk-in-it history. I'm stopping it where I want to. Here on Choc Cherry Delight.
What? That's not even on the list, Daniel.
You're right. I haven't written it down yet. Brian, it's been a while since I recorded a podcast with you. I forget how it works.
All right, Daniel. Well, the good news is I have got the Sangria strawberry milk.
Yummer.
It was a 50% chance.
Is that the one that you wanted?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I actually have, well, I have three of them in my box to try to increase the chances.
T'challa.
Although I didn't put it on the list three times, which I should have.
You should have stacked that Rotolacta. Yeah, I'm holding a Betty's Milk Bar, Choc Cherry Delight. Now, if the name Betty's Milk Bar sounds familiar to you, Brian...
It's because I had a burger there. No?
You did?
I don't know.
You came down to rural Western Australia, had a delicious burger at Betty's Milk Bar?
Where did I have a burger, Daniel?
I recently enjoyed a delicious HelloFresh halloumi burger.
Yummy.
It was really good. Caramelized onion on top. Ooh, not worth the money I'm spending on it, but every one I cook so far is a tasty meal.
Oh, Daniel, I'm thinking of Betty's Burgers and Concrete Company.
Goodbye, money. Hello, pretty good flavor. How was your burger?
It was
a little
fine.
Chewy?
It was okay. And the milkshake and stuff was good. Betty's Burgers in Melbourne, Australia. Anyway.
Oh, you went there?
Yeah, that's where I had a burger, Daniel.
Oh, that's what you were talking about. That all makes sense.
That's why the name Betty's sounded familiar.
Because you had a burger there in Melbourne.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
What I was getting at is that Betty's Milk Bar is a subsidiary, sub-brand of the, what was it, Barrett's Farm or something that we did last week?
Bannister Downs?
Bannister Downs, yeah. They did the mango smoothie milk, and they also have very limited range Betty's Milk Bar milks, Choc Cherry Delight and one Spearmint Surprise or whatever.
Did you get the Spearmint one, Daniel?
Yeah, I did, but... It expired.
Oh.
Because it's been a long week. Luckily, I managed to quickly feed it to my wife before it actually expired, so the exorbitant price I paid for it wasn't entirely wasted.
Did she tell you anything about if it was good or not?
Yes, she did, but I'm not telling you. Or the listeners.
All right.
So, I went on a long car trip to good old Mount Lawley, where I got the peppermint milk or whatever. And then a week later, I took another trip on the ferry to South Perth. Maybe I could have gone to the zoo, but I didn't. Instead, I went to a fancy local grocery shop, and there in the fridge section, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Choc cherry milk. I can't believe it. So I picked it up and put it in my cart. And then I took it across the ferry, across the Swan River, back through Perth, on the train, with my little kid, all the way back up to grungy old Midland, where it now sits. There you go. It's a well-travelled milk.
Wow.
Mm.
What an ordeal, Daniel.
Mm. Yeah. It's a real, Oedipus. It's an Oedipusian journey. What's the guy? Harpies. His dog dies when
Odysseus?
He gets home or something. His wife is remarried.
The Odyssey? Odysseus?
Yeah. Odysseus, that's the guy. What's his boat? The Iliad?
That's The Iliad is another book, Daniel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Odysseus and his boat, the Iliad.
Did his boat have a name?
Yeah, of course his boat had a name.
The Argo.
Yeah, there you go.
Daniel.
Brian.
Imagine if that was your hubby's favorite milk and you had to make that trek all the time to get as much of it as you possibly could.
My hubby. I'd do it for my hubby. And my Glock.
Daniel.
Yeah, Brian. All these episodes that just came out for us. When this comes out, the listeners will have unsubscribed already.
I'm excited about my milk, Daniel.
Oh, Bingaree banana. Bingaree sangria strawberry. Oh, is it a tea?
No, it's just strawberry milk.
Oh, is Sangria the tea brand that you had last time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sangria does tea and then it also does strawberry-flavored milk. Oh, maybe this will be a good strawberry milk. Historically, they've all been trash, Brian.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I knew.
It's just an unending fountain of garbage from the strawberry department.
But this one could be the one, Daniel.
It probably is the one. There was already the one, but it was actually a yogurt and not a milk drink. But
Daniel, you want
to... Maybe this is the real one.
Do you want to know an interesting fact about this strawberry milk?
Always.
It is 1% juice.
Hey, that's pretty good. I think that's a good start. Right?
Maybe.
It's better than, like, you read the ingredients and it's like strawberry flavor.
Yeah. It's the first ingredient is water, though, so...
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Remember the counting trick that we used to do? Remember that thing we used to do for fun where you would start counting down and I'd count in sync with you to determine how far apart our realities are?
Yeah, do you want to do that?
I do. So I'll start counting and then you join in, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'll start counting on a count of three. 3, 2, 1. 10, 9, 8, 7. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All right, still a half second. Oh, never mind.
Should we leave that in for the listeners?
No, you're kidding, of course. It's the best bit. They love it. I thought things were sounding slightly more natural and human for some reason, but no, still the old half second friend with us, in between us, keeping us chased.
You just have
and separate.
Maybe we're just getting better at talking slightly a half second ahead of ourselves so that it sounds better to the other person.
Maybe. But I doubt it.
Yeah. I also doubt it. Well, Daniel, today there's no Shut Up Daniel, so you can just...
You haven't found a new book?
You can just keep talking forever.
Sweet. My favorite thing, to talk forever. Maybe I've got a book around here somewhere.
About milk?
Hang on. No. What's this? Oh, that's nothing interesting. Conditions of entry of the Perth Institute of Contemporary Arts Hatched exhibition.
I mean, if you want just any quote, I can give you that.
Yeah, give me any quote. Just teach me something new, Brian.
All right, Daniel, I'll give you a quote.
I should have books in here. Where are all my books? Oh, here's a book. Ah! All right, shut up, Brian. Rocks, Brian. In the vernacular, the word rock is used to designate a fixed mineral compound found in nature. Most rocks found on Earth are silicate rocks, field spars, and quartzes, not to mention carbonates. The geological term is far broader. It also includes looser sands, natural metal alloys, rare earths, the sediments of plants and animal skeletons, coals and biogenic chalks. And ice, i.e. water in its firm aggregate state. A distinction is made between solid rock and mantle rock, according to the consistency of the respective deposit. This is from Burnden Hiller Becker's Stonework and Lime Kilns. How is that?
That's great, Daniel.
Do you want another one?
Sure.
For thousands of years now, people have extracted, mined, and refined rocks, using them as materials, above all, for constructing buildings, roads, and harbour quays and walls. In addition to mining and quarries, dumps and pits, with the related mechanical tools and methods such as blasting, crunching, sorting, and, if necessary, pulverizing, very early on in human history, special rocks were processed using thermodynamic processes. The most cherished products were ceramics, glass, cement. Analogous to metalworking and metal processing, the discipline and technology of refining rocks emerged and came to be termed ceramics. Indeed, it bears remembering that the oldest ceramic vessels in the world were manufactured in the 13th millennium BC in Japan. There we go. So I hope we've all learned something, listeners.
There we go.
Tune in next week for another... I don't know what. Neither does Brian. Nobody does. But tune in anyway. Got to keep the segment going. The Shut Up Daniel segment.
Here, Daniel. I've got a quote for you.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me with it.
All sorts of efforts were made to populate the Floridas with anyone. Huguenots, Bermudians, Irish, Germans, Swiss, Scottish Highlanders, even some of the prostitutes being rehabilitated in London's Magdalen House. Sir Alexander Grant, who dreamed up the idea of transporting the prostitutes to Florida, confessed with not exactly stunning insight, "'Tis true they are not virgins." Nevertheless, he said, they would surely make splendid wives and mothers for such as were likely to live in a place like Florida.
That's funny because Florida is crime-ridden, right? Famously crime-ridden?
Florida's just famously shitty.
Mm.
Especially after they... played the pivotal role in the 2000 election.
Ah.
I don't know if it's...
You know the Everglades? Have you ever been to the Everglades?
No.
Ah, that's pretty cool. Everglades are in Florida, and they're pretty cool. So it can't all be bad in Florida. Floridians listening, Everglades.
There you go. Everglades.
Yeah. I think it's the only place in the world where crocodiles and alligators naturally coexist... cohabit, where their jurisdictions cross. That might be a wrong fact or a slightly misunderstood one, but I was told it at some stage anyway. Crocodiles and alligators living together in the Floridian Everglades.
Yeah, sure, why not? That's a fact.
Why not indeed?
That quote was from Sometimes in Art, Nine Essays on History by Bernard Balin.
Oh, I love Bernard Balin.
His specialty is...
It's my favorite of the dwarfs from The Hobbit.
His specialty is the populating of the Americas. Who populated the Americas and why? How did they get here? Stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. But he writes a lot about polka.
Polka?
Yeah, polka.
The dance? The music?
Yeah, the dance. You always go like, oh, you know, you read about the history of America... Well, the Polish form of polka came down to, you know, Michigan, and then there was the Slovenian polka, popularized in Minnesota, and, you know? Yeah. Maybe it was just from that one time I read a lot about polka that I think that.
Maybe. Well, Daniel, should we take a sip?
Yeah, sure. Taking a sip, Brian.
Me too, Daniel. And that means it's time to fire up the chat timer.
I got it right here. Oh, topics. Who's got a topic? Do you have a topic or do I have a topic? Topic.
Boy.
It's been such a long week. You'd think we both would have like all kinds of topics saved up.
Maybe. If I wasn't just playing video games all the time.
We can't talk about video games. Remember that time you said we can't talk about video games anymore, Dan?
Have you taken pictures, photography of anything recently, Daniel?
No, I don't have time. I really want to. I drive past all these places like I'm some kind of Henry Wessel Jr. driving past interesting things to photograph. But instead of like Henry Wessel Jr. photographing them from my car and exploring them and making cool books about them, I just don't. I never get to it. I don't have time. I'm always driving from place to place with other people in the car who need to get there. Oh, we gotta get there by 8:30, etc., etc. So I can't. No, Brian, no.
You got some real taskmasters in your backseat.
Henry Wessel Jr., he's a cool guy. Yes.
What about paintings or drawings or other art? Have you done any lately?
Yeah. You know, the art I do most is when I sit down and I force myself to make a thumbnail for my podcast. That's been my most consistent artistic output. And I've done some good stuff. Because I make a new one for every episode. And recently, I've been playing a lot of small indie games. So I've been doing a lot of fan art of small indie games.
Yeah.
In the podcasts, which has been a lot of fun. It's a creative, like, you go, oh, what can I do differently this time for this little 1,400 by 1,400 thumbnail? I've done some stuff at... Yeah, you know what? I do the Saturday class in my in the local art art center where I'm the teacher. I'm Friday's man and Saturday's man, and the Saturdays is the kids' class, so I do the kids' class. And there's been this kid, right? Ooh! And he has all these great ideas, and then he draws them, and he hates how he draws. He's really not happy with his drawings. I recently had an amazing breakthrough where for a week, I just whenever I had time, I would cut out cars and people from magazines and put them in a box. And then I got him to do collage. And he made these weird like teapot monsters with spider legs putting out forest fires and like this thing with a bum in its chest which sits across a toilet to poo front ways and it eats beds and it's blind but it can smell beds and it breaks into your house at night and you scream because there's a big monster and it shakes you out of the bed to eat the bed. And you just sit there on the floor totally confused and then it runs into another house and you just hear a scream and then it running out. And that was his whole thing. Just through collage, so that was a good happy day for me.
Was he happy with mostly, the way the collages turned out?
Yeah, he was, because it's not him drawing. That's the thing he hates.
Yeah, that's
some
sweet.
People get like, oh, I wish I. Why aren't I better? Why is everybody better than me?
Yeah,
that's what some people are like. This is the same guy. He started trying to draw a. Like a centipede crocodile. This kid's like 11, right? And he does a centipede crocodile, and he starts scribbling it up. And I was like, no, 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 it's so good. And I was like, so what's the deal with this crocodile? And he's like, okay, so this crocodile lives for it lives for 3,000 years and 36 seconds exactly. And it's a real bastard. It's so hard to be friends with. The only way to be friends with it is to bring milk, like meat to its swamp and feed it meat. But the deal is, if you die of old age while you're friends with the monster, it gets you into heaven. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. But he just doesn't draw. He hates what he draws. It's a shame.
Where does he come up with these ideas?
In the art class.
But like, where does he get his inspiration?
That's a good question. Minecraft is his favorite thing. I've been for months now trying to get him to like come up with monsters, so he's probably, you know, honed that skill to like a fine-edged kind of tool. I've had this like ongoing project which I was trying to get these damn kids interested in and they just were not interested, and I think it's just taken a few semesters for them to start going, hey, maybe Dan wants me to think of a cool monster. And so he started doing it now that I've totally moved on from that project and we're doing animation instead. Anyway, Brian, that's the end of the chat timer.
That is the end of the chat timer. Well, that's cool.
Once again, I've got to put it in a drawer because it keeps on ticking even after it's timed.
Takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Mmm. It does.
Okay, Daniel. Well, are we ready to have a scoring interlude?
Yeah, let's have an interlude. Do we want to do music, or do we just want to do harsh radio hisses, alien voices off in the blue void?
I think the harsh radio noises might be
distracting too when
much.
They start.
Yeah,
calling your name, Brian. Yeah. Brian.
I'm going to play some music for us, Daniel.
Yours is the path of blood, Brian.
And we'll be back after these messages. How are you doing on numbers, Daniel?
My numbers are done.
Oh. My numbers are done.
Our numbers are done.
That's incredible.
Listeners, our numbers are all done.
What
so
do we do now?
So that means the interlude's all done.
Sad.
Yeah.
I missed the interlude. Good.
Just sitting down here enjoying some David Bowie, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moon Age Daydream, I bet that was called.
You would be right in betting.
Yeah.
That.
I would be right in. I'm a Betty man. Betty Milk Bar. Bet.
Yeah.
Speaking. I haven't listened to that particular Bowie track or very many particular Bowie tracks. I know a lot of Hunky Dory. But that's the only album of David Bowie's that I've ever really listened to very much.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
The only one I've really listened to, like as an album, is Cat People. That one, whatever that one is.
Cat People. Yeah. David Bowie, Cat People. Do you mean Diamond Dogs?
I mean Let's Dance.
Let's dance.
Yeah. I have that one on vinyl.
Oh, cool.
I had to get
it. Do you listen to a lot of music on vinyl, Brian?
I do, Daniel. I listen to some music on vinyl every now and then. I've got a little collection and a little record player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my experience listening to music on vinyl is a little bit sabotaged by my total inability to make my goddamn speakers work because I'm not my dad. I got a record player and a vinyl collection too, but it's from a particular stage in my life where 50% of all the records are Tom Waits albums.
Oh, yeah?
It'd be like going back in time 7 years and going, oh, wow, I really liked Tom Waits much, much more than I do now. But I'm sure there were some other good records I picked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Just straining. Rock Plaza Central. I managed to get a Rock Plaza Central. I had to get Discogs, I picked up Rock Plaza Central. I had to get it sent from somewhere in America to a fake address in America, which was like a company which handled shipping for people who aren't willing to ship outside of America. They're like, just ship it to us and we'll ship it. It's good though, it was worth it. Rock Plaza Central. I am an excellent steel horse headed for home. I'm gonna cross that line. I love that album.
Sounds good.
I recommend it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, The Knife. I've got a couple of Knife albums. They're a band who I still enjoy. I got the Neutral Milk Hotel box set when it came out.
Yeah.
Which is very of of that time, my record playing years.
Yeah.
But still something I think is good.
I've got a couple albums of The Roots. I've got a couple of Caroline Rose, a couple Always, a King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
I've got Mos Def.
Oh, yeah.
I've got...
From Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, and also from Mos Def.
The guy from Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy.
The thing he did before that movie, for which he was very famous.
Black Star? Is that him?
Yeah, he was in Black Star with Talib Kweli.
Yeah.
And I've got, a few others.
Cool.
Well, Daniel, I don't hear any chat timer going, so I think it's time for us to do our essays.
Time to get out of this groove and into the review groove. Groove in the review. You go first.
Me go first?
Yeah, you tell me your essay and then the scores.
Well, Daniel, I'm disappointed.
Ah, shit. It's not the one, listeners.
This one is not the one. What can I even say about it?
It's not the one.
It has a decent milkiness, but that's about it. It's really sugary. And it doesn't taste like strawberry at all. It just tastes very much like sugar. And it's super, super sweet. The little can it's in is 265 mils, which is not very much. But it felt like too much as I was drinking it. And I have extras with me in case it was good and I wanted to drink more, but...
You don't.
I don't.
Your roommates are going to be enjoying some sangria strawberries.
Probably not. I might drink them just to get rid of them, but it's just so sugary. Like, it's not bad. It's just so
sweet. Drink them just to get rid
sweet.
Of them. The old human bin move.
Yeah. Just so, so sweet, so sugary.
Yeah.
And that's the only real flavor it has, is sweetness.
Yeah. Maybe you can treat them like a milk cordial, and like mix normal milk with them.
That's an interesting idea.
Make them cut a little less.
Water them down.
Milk them down.
Milk them down. Could do.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, so super disappointing. It's just sugary milk. I don't know why all strawberry milks suck, but it keeps happening.
It does, again and again.
The other negative big hit this one took is that I had to buy it in a 6-pack that cost like $20 or something, so it came out to be like $3.30 per can.
Oh, yo, that's no good.
So that's
a specialty item price.
That's
that's
very poor value.
That's abominable.
Abominable. It is abominable.
It is. What do you that tickled you, did it?
It's just a good word right there.
Yeah. My son's taken to saying something's gargantuan. Oh, speak of the devil. Hang on. I'm just watching the devil on this little baby monitor, but it appears to have gone back to sleep. Cool.
Cool. Speak of the devil, and he shall wake up.
Yep.
That's what they say, right?
Exactly. He started to call things gargantuan. That's gargantuan.
That's cool.
I appreciate that very much. Just because he thought that was a funny word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to really like the word rubble.
So that's a good one too. Are you a big Flintstones fan?
No, I don't know where I got it, but yeah.
Yeah, you were a funny kid.
Oh, allegedly. The best thing about this milk is the can that it's in. It's a small little can. It's white, and it's got red strawberries on it. It looks kind of cute. The Japanese version of the can is much cooler.
Mm.
But this one is still pretty fun.
Is it? It's not one of the ones where it's English on one side and then in a different language on the other side?
No, it's just English all the way around.
My Madame Hong's grass jelly milk tea drink, grass jelly inside drink, is like that. It's English on one side, and you flip it over, and it's in Taiwanese on the back, and it's really cool. I like it.
Nice. One of the knocks against it on the design here is there's like a sort of a like a wax seal looking thing, a wax stamp, kind of medallion type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird goldish color that kind of just stands out awkwardly, and it says berry goodness over the top of that, and it feels kind of random and out of place.
Brian, can you hear whispering?
Whispering?
Yeah, whispering.
Like, I can hear little radio noises.
Yeah. Where's that coming from?
I don't know, Daniel.
Where is that coming from? Is that your end or my end? I can hear it now.
I feel like you wouldn't be able to hear the radio noises that I'm hearing, but you never know.
Is it like a woman's voice? Huh. All right, cool. Well, good. I'm just sitting here enjoying this whispering. It's all good, listeners. Don't worry.
Are you still hearing
totally it? Totally exists. Hang on. No, not anymore.
I think it's just sometimes these cords end up acting like antennas.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
If our listeners can hear the radio noises, that's a little Easter egg for you.
Hmm. Seek, yeah, to take some of your medication. It'll be okay.
Yeah. So that's...
Here, one of these cords goes down to an underground chamber, deeper than any... I don't know. Yeah, good. What are your numbers?
My numbers. Milkiness, 63. Tastiness, 41.
Oh, so not awful.
I mean...
Just not good.
Yeah, just sugar.
Below average.
Mm-hmm. Creativity, 21. It's just a strawberry milk.
Mm.
Value, 12.
Mm, yeah.
Gestalt, 32.
Mm. So it's less drinkable than it is tasty.
I guess so, yeah.
The gestalt tastiness dynamic is always an interesting little dance to witness, I think, in each individual milk profile.
I mean, yeah, the taste...
Whether something is more drinkable than it is delicious.
It's not good, and it's not bad. It's just sugary. And... that makes you not want to drink it. It's too sugary, so you don't want to drink very much of it.
Mm.
But I still did. I finished my one can. And last of all, its best attribute is Zeitgeist, where it scores 81. I mostly really like it, Zeitgeist-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly. Those are my numbers,
Not
Daniel.
As good as the Japanese cans.
Them's my nums.
Cool. Nice nums.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 nums. All right. I got some nums. I got a little essay. So, the Betty's Milk Bar Choc Cherry Delight Milk. It's a 745 mils of milk. Comes in a glass bottle. It's an interesting colour. It is the dusky pink of a fleshlight. It's a very unique colour. A very recognisable pink. This colour of pink that this Choc Cherry Delight milk is. Flavour-wise, it's very subtle. It's not a strong flavour. It is heading down the path of a strawberry milk, of it being, too high on the sugar side. Looking at the ingredients and the nutritional information, it's 8.8% sugar, which is a few percentages lower than, I think, the last strawberry milk that I tried, which was something like 11 or 12%. So it's not... This isn't too sweet to drink. But the sweetness in this drink is, it's slightly... It's probably the most memorable thing about the flavour is that it's quite sweet. Do you get cherry ripes in America?
I do not know what that is.
All right. So cherry ripes is like a chocolate bar that we get here. And it's like coconut that's been... mixed and infused with cherries, such that you don't really taste the coconut anymore. It's just like a vehicle for this sort of strong cherry flavor. And then that's coated in chocolate. It's real good, but it's also like the most fattening chocolate bar on the market, I think, for some weird reason. So this Choc Cherry milk is pretty much bang on the flavor of a cherry ripe. You could call this a cherry ripe tie-in milk, and I'd go like, oh, they hit the nail on the head. It's perfect. So it tastes like a sort of cherry-flavored candy bar, basically, but probably made with real cherries at some stage. And the ingredients say natural cherry flavors, so whatever that means. Natural chocolate / cherry flavor, but honestly, the chocolate is very hard to detect. It's mostly a cherry-flavored milk. I'm really struggling to get any chocolate at all from this Choc Cherry milk. The flavour overall is pretty subtle, so much so that you can drink quite a bit of this milk trying to pin down the flavour. Most of this 750ml bottle is gone now. I've just been drinking it. The flavour isn't overpowering. It's a subtle cherry-flavoured milk. This cost me between $5 and $6. I don't remember exactly. I think it was $5.50. I've just seen its regular retail price listed as $6 somewhere, but I know I didn't pay exactly $6. It was $5 something when I bought it. So this is definitely a sometimes milk. And that's, I think, the end of my little essay about the milk and its drinking. Do you just want my numbers now? Or do you have any questions? No, I'll do the numbers, then you ask me questions.
Okay.
Milkiness, 59. I think the sweetness can't make the milkiness any higher. Like, it can't be a higher milkiness because the sweetness is, like... I don't know, slightly tart, slightly sweet. It's not super-duper milky. But without a big full-on flavour, what you're left with is the experience of drinking mostly milk with a subtle sort of flavour to it in the background. The tastiness is 63. It's good. There's room for improvement, though. It could be chocolatier. It could be cherry-ier. The creativity, I've gone as high as 75. This is pretty good. Chocolate cherry? That's a good flavour for it to try and draw a milk in. I haven't seen it before. You haven't seen it before. Brian, listeners? So, 75 from me. The value is 32. The devil's woken up. He might be okay, though. Let me just quickly go through the numbers. Gestalt is 80. It's super-duper drinkable. I've drunk most of it. Zeitgeist is 69. Pretty high.
Nice.
But overly... like, it's a little simplistic. They've gone for, like, a retro milk bar feel with this, like, old sort of 50s magazine illustration line drawing of this Betty character holding up her hand in a silly dress. A chalk cherry is in very retro font. There's, like, a cartoon of a cherry on it. But the glass bottle is nice. The shape of the bottle is nice. They have just a red and white colour theme. It's quite nice. Oh, hey, there's some writing on the side. Betty had never tried Choc Cherry Delight before, but she always loved her cherry ripe chocolates. Oh! You get cherry ripe chocolates get name checked on the side. And was terribly excited to find the same flavour in a refreshing low-fat milk drink. Satisfy your chocolate cravings! Exclamation mark. So I thought Betty's milk bar was... So Betty is just a person who's found this milk and drunk it too? Where did the milk come from? This maybe. Betty character is just someone who drinks milk, but not who makes the milk.
Maybe she found the milk and then decided to open a milk bar to sell it to everyone else too.
Yeah, just this milk that I found
here. She decided to import-export it. She's gone into business.
Yeah. So I guess that's... Sure, whatever. So I'm not displeased with the Zeitgeist. 69 from me.
What was your milkiness?
59. Ah. I get milkiness 59, tastiness 63, creativity 75, value 32, gestalt 80, Zeitgeist 69.
Very good. And you've drunk...
Overall, there's room for improvement, but it is good.
You've drunk it's the whole good. Thing?
Oh, hang on. Let me drink the whole thing right now. There we go. So we've got, I've now got an empty jug and a full little cup. And now I've got a full little mouth.
Did it come in a glass jug?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh.
Here's me clanking my glass jug against my glass.
There you go. Well, that's a nice... Yeah, that sounds like a great milk drinking experience for you, Daniel.
Yeah, I finished the whole thing.
You...
745 mils. What a weird number.
You milk-privileged piece of shit.
You milk-privileged piece of shit, Brian.
You motherfucker, Daniel. Who's milk-privileged now, Daniel?
You're right.
I'm out of milk, except for chocolate.
You gotta get more milks. Go to weird... Oh, I guess you can't. I don't know. Just look harder, Brian. Get a better milk industry.
I'm never going to be able to go to a store again because the fucking America, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I know. The fucking America.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Daniel, should we find out who is our milk of the day?
Yeah, let's.
Milk of the day.
Milk of the day.
Milk. Oh no, Daniel, what a surprise.
I hope it's me.
Today's milk of the day is Betty's Milk Bar Chocolate Cherry Delight.
Are we keeping track of how many milks of the day has gone to each who? Me and you?
No, we are not.
Brian versus Daniel.
Do we want to know that information?
Yeah, I want to know that information.
Okay.
I love feeling like an underdog. It feels good.
Milk of the day. Betty's Choc Cherry. Congratulations, Daniel and Betty and those motherfuckers at Bannister Downs.
Bannister Downs. Thanks, Bannister Downs. I've just been Bannister downing some milk here in my back room on a podcast. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I sometimes fantasize about contacting milk industries, you know, adding them into each post, but then I think of all the things that we say about them. Actually, and I imagine what they, like, some marketing person listening to the podcast, and I'm like, no, 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 no. That's no good.
I think they would enjoy it.
Maybe. No, I don't think they'd enjoy it. I don't want anyone from Oak to listen.
But they must know that they're bastards, right? Like,
they're like, they've read like The Game or something. They're like, oh, if we're just assholes, then some pathetic little Australian shithead on a podcast will just buy our milks, even though, like, you know, I'm still buying their milks. I guess it's working. I don't know. I'm being negged by Oak.
Yeah. You're literally... it's exactly what's happening.
So, yeah. Good. All right, Brian.
And I'm just rapidly... getting our... Gonna get our scores.
Oh, you're doing the Brian versus Daniel Milk of the Day totals.
Do you want the standings?
Yeah, of course. Yes, I do. Do you need more time?
Maybe. Just a little bit more.
Recently been playing a lot of Pokemon with my son, my 4-year-old son. Really going crazy for Pokemon at the moment. I've got Pokemon Pearl on the Nintendo DS. I've been playing through that with him. He's gotten really good at naming the Pokemon that we catch. He's got an Onyx named Mink Mook, which nice. I thought was total genius. Where'd that come from? Mink Mook. Good stuff. Good name for an Onyx. Got an Abra named Humidifier. Got a Starly named Mop. Lots of good names. Smelly Sock. A Ghastly named Smelly Sock. All one word.
That's great.
But nothing tops Mink Mook.
That's really good. Mink Mook.
Mink Mook. And Humidifier is nice too, I think.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Well, Daniel.
Yeah, Brian.
We've got... The scores are currently...
I should say, at the time of recording, we've got two Pokemon Gym badges. I only thought to say that because when this episode comes out, I'd be interested, because, you know, I listen, right? Yeah. I listen religiously. I'd be interested to hear where we're up to in the game. I'd be like, two badges? Oh, we got, like, 6 badges now. But anyway, what's the scores?
Daniel, the score is 23-22.
Wow, are you fucking kidding? Oh my god.
I'm not kidding.
No way! 23-22? This is unbelievable.
Moo Moo, it's Editor Brian and Editor Dan barging in. Brian, what's going on? Why are we
Brian
here?
It's Brian E. for Editor and Daniel E. for Editor.
And Daniel E.
What's going on here? That's we are here... to reprimand me for being an absolute bloody fool.
Dickhead.
Stupid old idiot.
Got it wrong.
Yeah.
Brian's a real goof, a buffoon of a man who got it wrong.
I stuffed it.
How did you get it wrong, Brian? Explain it to me. I don't fully understand. You read some numbers?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I just said listeners would have just heard me say that the scores were... I can't remember, 23-22 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told
there's a real low scoring episode.
I told Daniel that the milk of the day score was me on 23 and him on 22 milks of the day. Listeners might have noticed that that adds up to like 45, and they were listening to episode, I'm going to say 38. They're listening to episode 38
when
they
39.
Heard me say that we had a combined 45 milks of the day. And astute listeners would have realized that math doesn't fucking work at all. Because here's what happened.
You got it wrong, Brian. You counted wrong.
Here's what happened, Daniel. I told you the total of yeses of milks of the day versus the total of noes of milk of the day. So the score was there had been 23 milks of the day and 22 not milks of the day. You might think that doesn't work either, but it does because on episode 15, we had a tie. Two milks of the day.
Oh.
So there's one more milk of the day than there should be, right?
Right. So what are the true numbers then? What should you have said? Say what you should have said now.
Yeah, so the true
scores.
Listeners,
listen to Brian say.
These are the true scores. Brian is on Vafino milk of the day. Also, spoiler alert. Because these numbers are from the future.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Hit him with the forbidden knowledge.
Hang on, no.
Listeners, keep this to yourselves. You know what? Don't leak this to the general public.
You know what? I'm going to amend this.
You coward. Welcome to the Cowards Podcast. Yeah. We got Brian Coward and Daniel Coward here.
Daniel.
Holding back on the forbidden
Brian C.
knowledge.
For Coward.
It was too juicy for you.
All right. So, So the numbers I told you were, I had 23 yeses, and Daniel had 22 noes, which obviously they're the same. That doesn't make any sense, right? Oops, accidentally moved.
Wow, what the
Ignore
hell was that?
That?
Oh, goodbye, everyone.
No.
Goodbye.
No, we're not going anywhere.
No?
So.
Oh, sorry.
So, episode 38. There had been 38 milks of the day and 36 non-milks of the day. These are the real numbers now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is Editor Brian jumping in on Editor Brian from a few minutes ago with the actual real truth now.
That was what the cow sound meant. We were on top of it all along.
We've had 38 milks of the day, Daniel. 23 of them belong
of the day, listeners.
To Brian.
23 belong to Brian.
15
Brian Coward.
Belong to Daniel.
Oh, shit.
Daniel Coward.
I liked the old wrong numbers better.
I know. The old wrong numbers were way more titillating.
They were kind of generous numbers. Wrong but generous. That's what I aspire to be.
They were wrong, but they created drama. But we're here as the editors of this podcast to make sure there is no artificial drama.
No drama. To quash it. You gotta quash that drama.
We're quashing that drama. Squashing it.
All
squishing
right.
it. But yeah, that's it. That's the truth.
Squashing
23
and squishing.
To 15.
All right, enjoy the truth, everyone. All right. Back to us?
Yeah, back to us.
What exciting numbers. There can't possibly be any more exciting numbers than that. I mean, it could have been neck and neck, I guess, but I guess it couldn't. Wait, 22 to 23. How does that work? Oh, there was the camel milk episode.
Yeah. So I guess if you count the camel milk, it changes the scores, but I don't think the camel milk counts
right.
as milk of the day because it was by itself.
Yeah.
And we can't have a milk of the day that scored a 206, could we?
No. But, so who's on? Wait, so 22 versus 23. I'm on 22, right?
Yes.
Yeah, gotta be the underdog.
Gotta be.
Yeah, I knew it. Of course I'm the 22. You would be 23, wouldn't you, Brian?
Of course.
You milk-privileged piece of shit. I'm down here on my 22 wins. You're up there on 23. Well, we'll see. We'll see next time.
Well,
all right.
We will see next time.
We'll all see. See ya, listeners.
All right. Moo you later.
Moo us out, Brian. Moo the cow. Oh, you did it.
Daniel, fruit-flavored milks are just fucking garbage.
They're no good.
They're worse than milk that's not really for drinking.
Yeah. They are.
Should I put the camel milk in the not really for drinking category?
What category is it in now?
Plain.
Yeah, absolutely it should go in not really for drinking. You shouldn't drink it. It's not really for drinking.
All right. That brings our not really for drinking category to the bottom of the scoreboard.
Cool. Camel milk is for preventing death by thirst. And that's all.
That's fairly accurate to say.
Hmm.
I wish I could get my hands on some fucking mint milk, you bastard.